Hello, West Liberty. This is Matthew on WGLZ 91.5 FM, College Radio. We are passionately vocal. We are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. Today I have, right next to me, we're going to be doing a segment called Academic Affairs. I have Kate Billings. She went to Binghamton University in New York, and she got her degree in marketing and counseling leadership, and also her position is student activities and Title IX coordinator. Am I correct?
Yep.
Alrighty. How you doing, Kate?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. So I'm gonna, in this first segment, I'm just gonna get learn a little bit more about your position.
Okay.
And then the second one, I'm just gonna be second segment is gonna be just talking about your life on campus, especially during with Greek life. So
okay,
the first question I got for you is, can you tell me a little bit about your role as a director? Director of student activities and what that involves on a daily basis for you?
Yeah. So here at West Lib, as the director of student activities, it's I like to describe it as everything outside of the classroom for the most part, whether it's a club or organization, taking a 10-minute break from studying, joining Greek life, intramurals, going to a yoga class, or just hopefully providing a venue or atmosphere where you can come and hang out with your friends. Like, that's our goal. So, you know, I definitely like grew a ton outside of the classroom when I was in college. So being able to have those fun chill out spaces, clubs, meetings, et cetera. That's our goal, is to hopefully create that in whatever way it is for a student. And it's different for every single student. Mm-hmm.
Kind of building that space, is that kind of like setting the tone around the campus for everybody to kind of figure out who they want to be around with, or what the community that you want to kind of be involved with?
Yeah, it's definitely, especially that's why we stress so much Topperfest, which is Welcome Week, mm-hmm. here on campus. The first 2 weeks, our office is in charge of, because we want students to feel welcome on campus, feel comfortable maybe going to something alone or finding someone down the hall who's going to the same event and just, hey, let's go check this out. So that's why our office leans really heavily into those first 2 weeks, but that like continues throughout the semester. So you know, if we're doing just like, hey, stop by and grab like a soda bar, like, and create a mixture of fun flavors type deal, or if it's supporting the Pride Club in drag bingo, etc., like, we are just continually trying to provide that space for students to learn and grow and connect with each other.
So. All right. So the next one I got here is, how do you think student activities contribute to the overall college experience?
Personally, I think it does a ton. I mean, at the end of the day, we understand that students are here for their academics first, potentially athletics second, especially if they're getting like a scholarship. And then three, it's like, okay, what is the rest of their campus life like? But I think it is super, super important, especially, I mean, on both ends, whether you're living residentially or a commuter, like, this is your space. You get to, as a villager, you get to create that village. It shouldn't just be up to me. So if, you know, 10 students came in tomorrow and said they wanted to do XYZ, as long as it's legal and it's okay, you know what I mean? It follows our values as a university, and we have the funding to support it, whether it costs $0 or, you know, $500. How can we make that happen for those students? Because this is their home. Because without you guys, I don't have a job. So, and what I liked in college is not necessarily what's cool now. So, you know, I think actively engaging the students in that planning process helps create that environment where they want to stay here for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years to get 1, 2, or 3 degrees. So
to kind of what I think you kind of hit it just a little bit to talk about, is that how you come up with some of the new ideas for every semester, is like just some of the feedback from the students that give you, or is it do you have like a team that you kind of work with to kind of make those new ideas, or like the same ideas, what works, what doesn't work?
Yeah, I mean, we have, so at the end of every semester, we'll do like a survey to gather some data, see what people want to do, etc. And then, are we able to do that? Are we able to deliver on it? Is question number one. And then, you know, then I'll bring it back to our group, whether mostly it's my graduate assistants. We will brainstorm, we'll create a full calendar, we'll look at those, the data points that were submitted to us, and start to create a full calendar. But like, it's also the fact that like, if we're on, I'm I'm old enough that I'm like an Instagram person, not a TikTok person. Mm-hmm. I should be TikTok. I have TikTok, but I'm not that person that like sends people TikToks, but I will send Instagram reels to like my GAs and be like, hey, this is a super fun. This looks easy and fun. How mm-hmm. can we integrate this on campus? Or at least just to get them in the mindset of like, ooh, this is a potential event as we're looking at our calendar and stuff like that. So, you know, we go off of what has worked here previously. We pull in some new stuff. But then we're always open to student ideas on the fly. I'm meeting with a student after this interview to talk about a Survivor program. Like, I should probably put context to that, like Survivor the TV show.
Yes.
And stuff like that, to be like, oh, can we do a multi-week thing that's based on like little challenges and stuff like that, which my office maybe we wouldn't necessarily think to do without that student first coming in and being like, I think I could get a ton of people to want to play Survivor games. So that's always a big part of it too. It's just students walking in our office to make it happen.
So another thing I got here is, have you seen, no, that's not the question that I was looking for. Let me look. Yeah. So have you seen any big changes in like in student engagements over the past few years? And if so, why?
So there's like positives and negatives to that.
Yeah.
Enrollment has gone down over the past few years post COVID, which makes it a little bit tougher with engagement. You know, students have different priorities. Are they student athletes? Are they doing research? Do they have to go work at Target 20 hours a week? So I think with that number going down, the general student population that is maybe like not working or not a student athlete or doesn't have to do XYZ is now smaller. So our numbers have stayed pretty good overall. Like this year, the first year class has been really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
Hilltopper Headlines has now been in full effect will be at a year this spring where it's daily. So I think it's also that culture of people getting used to opening up their email. I think seniors don't open up their email and look at Hilltopper Headlines, but I do think those freshmen are. So they're coming to our events in bigger numbers than we previously have. So in 3 years, what is that going to look like? Is it going to be a little bit better, even though our enrollment is down? So that's what we're hoping is like continually pouring into the new class of students, hopefully reinvigorating the culture, cross programming amongst athletics, clubs, different academic departments, to show people it's okay to have some school spirit and get involved and everything like that, even though sometimes like it is a little bit more quiet here depending on the day just because of, you know, people going and doing work or the sports teams going off the hill. So
do you feel like just even with like, even though like the enrollment is getting smaller, do you think that even with like just having a smaller campus and just in general kind of like builds like a stronger core mm-hmm. with all the groups that they have in general? Just because like I feel like the college experience that I've experienced at West Liberty, I feel like even with a smaller group that I have, I still found the people that I wanted to be with mm-hmm. regardless, even though like the numbers of the school in general hasn't
maybe
been.
Maybe not as big, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it's definitely possible and it still works. I think what happens more instead of like maybe knowing only one or two people from other like organizations or sports teams or your classes, you know, maybe 50 to 75%, which makes it a whole lot easier for you to cross program or join a different organization because you now know all 12 guys in your fraternity really, really well versus mm-hmm. when it was 20 or 25, maybe you weren't getting as exposed to, you know, the theater department or the sports management club type deal. So, yeah, I think even in a little bit of a smaller environment, you're able to get connected more, which means you understand people more, which means, you know, you're getting called out in both a positive and negative way to be like, hey, come to this event or, hey, why aren't you going to this thing type deal? Because they feel comfortable coming up to you.
Yeah.
Versus just keeping your head down and putting your phones in and stuff like that.
So this last question I have before we cut to a break here. What is the biggest challenge have you faced in your position so far?
I think, well, I will say two different things because I think the first one's a cop out. The first one is budget. Mm-hmm. I think on a college campus, students understanding the budget side is tough and a tough pill to swallow. Like we are not WVU. We are not doing a fall fest. Like WVU's fall fest is like three times our like annual budget total for the year. So I think one, that's always going to be like difficult because you know, what's getting cut, what's getting added, how can you get creative with that money to also still satisfy, you know, the entire student population. That's hard and that's tough. And your hands are sometimes tied because you don't have the money.
Yeah.
But that's a little bit of a cop out. I think that's sometimes like the easy out. What I think has been tougher is the leadership side is with a smaller pool of students, what kind of leadership skills do our students have? And I think sometimes we see the same people in the same positions across multiple organizations. So, you know, before where it was like you were the president of the fraternity, there was an SGA president, there was a hall director, RA. Now, you know, the same person is all three.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's sort of tough at times for those individual students and for those who work with them. Like, oh, we understand the pile of work you guys have because of it. So I think that's sort of been a really big challenge in like figuring out how can we create more leaders here on campus to sort of take that load off of the people that it's all on right now. So.
And I feel like you could also kind of challenge the people that are trying to get in those leadership positions to also come up with creative ideas of like how to, like even with like less money, you can find those creative ideas. So mm-hmm. you kind of could challenge that as well with it. So
absolutely.
So thank you so much for talking about that on the first segment. Next segment that we're going to be talking about is just learning about a little bit of your history and college life and mm-hmm. talking about Greek life. So we'll be right back on WGLZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio and we are passionately vocal. Welcome back, West Liberty, on 91.5 FM. This is Matthew still. We are college radio and we are passionately vocal. So last segment, we were just talking about Kate and how her job is for student activities. And now we're just going to talk a little bit more about her history and her college experience. So I understand that you were part of a sorority.
I was. I was a member of Phi Sigma Sigma, which is a national organization. I joined the Delta Z chapter at Binghamton University when I was a freshman.
So kind of going off of that, like how did you first get introduced into Greek life? Like what was that your first experience like with that?
So I was the person that got dragged by friends, mm-hmm. like the girls that I had met at orientation. We all lived in different areas on campus at Binghamton. So it was like, oh, are you thinking about going? And I was like, sure, I'll go with you. Like it was like, oh, let's all go together. So there was a group of four or five of us that went. And I didn't have a ton of expectations because I wasn't really sure. I knew I needed to push myself to do something outside of the norm because I mean, it's not like West Lib. There's 10,000 undergrads at Binghamton. If you didn't go find your group, no one was going to force you to. You didn't automatically fall into it where mm-hmm. I think sometimes here it's a little bit easier with a smaller campus. So went with my friends and went through fully structured recruitment. So for all those Greek nuts, you know, the very structured, you meet every single organization over like a 5-day span and you're there for hours and it's a mutual process. But, so yeah, I just went to the informationals and was like, I guess I'll try this out and got a bid. So
to kind of go off about that, were you ever even remotely interested in Greek life? Because I know a lot of themes that I've talked with a couple of people outside of the radio station and out, like there was never a thought that crossed their mind. So I kind of know I wanted to get a background if we were like set on yes, I wanted to go, or like no, it was a first plan.
I was definitely interested in it. So like I have brothers, I don't have any sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always interested in that. And like my mom passed away when I was younger, like mid teens. So to me, like also looking for that like female like environment, mm-hmm. which I wasn't like. So like if my mom passed away when I was 16 and, you know, you're at college when you're 18, I no longer have that female like energy around me.
Mm-hmm.
So like how could I supplement that? So like I knew my friends wanted to go through. I would research it to like go on like the chapters like Instagrams and Facebooks and being like, okay, is this what's for me? Like, do I think I would mesh with these people? So in my head, I wasn't like the diehard, like, oh, like I'm definitely going to go Greek, but I was definitely interested in it because of, I knew what it could do for me. I have a twin brother. So it was definitely one of those, like I always had a built-in best friend or someone who went through everything with me. So to me, you know, finding a group separate from that as an individual. Like,
yeah,
my brother would never be able to go to a sorority. Like, he would have to go to a fraternity. So, and we didn't go to the same college and stuff like that. So, so it was like my own journey too. So I thought that would be cool too. So, yeah.
So, another question I got here for you is like, what was your favorite event or memory that you have of being in a part of your sorority?
There's actually a bunch. The first one that I always like to tell people was like when I was a freshman. So we had deferred recruitment. So I got inducted into Phi Sig second semester freshman year. Like you couldn't join your first semester.
Mm-hmm.
So I went second semester. That spring, I ended up going to a national, it wasn't convention. It was, or maybe it was a convention. But we had a ritual. And I was literally the second to last person in line. Like talk about being petrified. Like you got in and initiated like probably like 2 or 3 weeks beforehand.
Mm.
And then Phi Sig, like during part of our rituals, like we were all white. So you're going in wearing all white with all of these women from like God knows how long. And you're the second to last person in line being like, am I going to screw something up? So I really love that memory because that was the first time like meeting headquarters as like a whole. And then I've really gotten back into advising and being part of the organization as recently. Like I was always an advisor of some sort, but at a lower capacity. But I was named chapter advisor of the year last year, which I was super proud of. And like headquarters like acknowledged that. And I got like a necklace that's only for chapter advisors who mm-hmm. win this award. So it's like that just felt like I was super proud of that moment, but also felt super connected to my organization, which I think is unique and special and really the point of our organizations. I think sometimes people are like, oh, it's just 4 years. It's like, no, I swear to God, it's not 4 years. Like, it's not for, like, everybody keeps saying it's for life. Like, this is genuinely is for life.
Yes.
Like, it really is giving that back. And I feel like that moment lived that. So I just personally love that memory too. So, and then there's all the fun ones that I can't say on radio because you're in college and you're just enjoying life with your friends.
So. Exactly. So let's not talk about that. anyways, another thing, what skills or like lessons did you like learn from part of your sorority?
Definitely communication skills. So at Binghamton, at the time, the chapters were more like 60 to 80 women. Now the chapters are at like 140 after fully structured recruitment.
Oh, okay.
But even with like a group of 60 to 80 women, communication was the biggest thing. Like, you're never going to get along with every single person and their leadership style. So I think one, being a very quiet person, I learned how to like build a backbone and express my views appropriately to, you know, multiple different groups. Cause you know, the chapter wanted to initiate a girl who did not have grades. And like when you have, and I was a sophomore president, you know, when you have seniors being like, no, she's going to come into the room and get initiated. And then you're like, I'm like, no, I'm not. Where that's not happening. Cause I did not want to break the rules or anything like that. And she didn't uphold it. Like she wasn't up to our standards. So why are we letting someone in if they're not going to continually uphold it? But like, that's scary. So like I figured out how to find my voice, which I think was super impactful. Time management, I think was a big one too. You know, being able to be in the sorority, be the president, be active, go to certain meetings, and then balance that with like my internship and schoolwork and family. I think it taught me that too. But I think it's just the fact that it was multiple different people. Like my sorority was, we're non-sectarian, so like not a specific religious organization. Mm-hmm. So like my best friend in the sorority, my best friend still now and best friend in the sorority then that I met, like, was Jewish. I got to go to Shabbat. Like, as I'm Catholic, I probably never would have thought that as like an 18-year-old that I'd be going to Shabbat and like learning about the Jewish culture and stuff like that. And that was part of my sorority experience. Without the sorority, I never would have ever like pushed myself to go do that stuff. So
it's just kind of like getting yourself like not only just like learning skills in like within the sorority itself, but like just stuff that you're gonna have to implement into your real life, like either real life job or like any other scenarios. So mm-hmm. that's pretty interesting here. And I'm kind of just gonna leave with this last question I have here. It's like, what do you think people like misunderstood about Greek life, and what you could encourage them to kind of like view differently or look at it in a different aspect?
Yeah, I think, you know, people always think it's like they're buying their friends or like I'm paying for my friends. Like, no, you're investing in yourself if you are willing to take advantage of what the organization has. I think, you know, if you want to be a t-shirt wearer, you can join that organization, pay your dues, wear your t-shirt, have a great time. But if you want to maximize that return on investment, essentially, like these sororities and fraternities have that. They will pay for you to go to trainings and visit parts of the country and network with alumni who you never would have thought to have networked because they're purposely putting you at those conventions, at those trainings in uncomfortable situations where you're forced to go outside of your comfort zone, meet new people, have conversations about your career. But you have to be willing to like want to potentially try that out. So like you're not buying your friends, you're investing in yourself. But with that, you still have to take the next step once you're in the organization and want to either take that leadership role or go online on the chapter website and enroll in XYZ and stuff like that. There's just so many different things that organizations do now to help prepare you for post-college career that like, why not?
So it's just kind of a, like what I've learned, like, especially like you said, return on investment. I really like that. It's just kind of like relating to like what you put into your own organization or to yourself is what you're going to get out of it. So thank you so much for taking the time to interview with me and getting to learn a little bit about what you do on West Liberty and just talking a little bit about Greek life and about yourself. So thank you so much.
No problem.
Alrighty. And that has been the Academic Affairs interview on the 91.5 FM WGLZ. We are college radio and we are passionately vocal.